I know it's been said and multiple times this morning, but hopefully y'all are through the Thanksgiving, getting over your food coma, and feeling pretty good because guess what? It's Christmas time. And one of the special things about Christmas time is the Hallmark has the countdown to Christmas, which starts Thanksgiving Day. And I love it. And I love to annoy my wife with it. Because the movies drive her nuts. But it got me thinking, if it wouldn't have been for today's text, we wouldn't have had a Christmas. Jesus wouldn't have come. We wouldn't celebrate it. Who knows what it would have looked like. But before we enter today's message and stuff, I'd like to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for today. And Lord, we thank you for giving your Son on the cross for our sins, and we just thank you for your Holy Spirit that comes and leads us and guides us and protects us. And Lord, we just ask that you lead and guide and protect us today as we talk about this, as we talk about Satan. Lord, he is alive and real, and he is coming after our souls. And Lord, I just ask that anything that I say that is not of you, Lord, falls on dead ears. And Lord, that you fill in the gaps with your Holy Spirit, the things that I may have missed. But Lord, ultimately, may you receive the honor and the glory for this. We just ask this for your honor and your glory. In your Son's holy name we pray. Just before this passage, we see God setting up the garden and everything like that. And then it's almost like we go into a commercial break. Like, we'll be right back, because there is that warning at the end. Don't go and eat, don't eat the fruit. And it's just like, okay, go to commercial break, and we come back, and here's the serpent just, crawling through. And immediately he goes up and asks Eve, did God really say that? What did God really say? He's described as the shrewdest of all creatures that God has made. And I don't think that he needed to ask Eve what God really said, because he was an angel. He was with God. And he had seen everything that God created. And I think he knew what God had said and how God set things up. But what he wanted to do was create doubt in Eve's mind. Satan knew that God had created everything and how much God enjoyed everything that he created. But God loved Adam and Eve because he breathed life into them and created them in his image. Satan is pure evil. And in John 10:10, he's described this way. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So in order to hurt God the most, which is who Satan hates, he goes after what God loves the most, mankind. What Satan's doing isn't any different in today's world as he did then. If you look at it, Adam and Eve were living in the garden, just going about their day, when all of a sudden Satan comes up as a serpent and asks a question. Really? Did God say that? You must not really eat of that fruit? This is usually how it starts in life. You don't ever start off intending to believe anything. You're going through, everything's hunky-dory, and all of a sudden, bam, you get asked a question. It's like, well, huh. That's kind of how it started in my life. Because at a very young age, Satan came to me and said, do you really think that God loves you? Satan used this because to create doubt in my mind and to start creating confusion, to start me looking at things that God didn't place and didn't set up. Unfortunately, what he did worked on both Eve and I. Eve's response, of course, was, we can eat. It's only the fruit from the tree at the center of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God says we must not eat it or even touch it, or we will die. But notice, that's not what God said. Because if you look at Genesis 2:15-17, it shows us what God has set up. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend for it and care for it. But the Lord God gave him this warning. You may freely eat of any fruit of the garden except for the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of its fruits, you will surely die. God had set up the garden to work with people, work with Adam and Eve, and to eat freely and to share freely all the fruits that he had set up. But Satan came and looked at that and said, well, why ain't you allowed to eat this one? What's so special about this one? Like, and you're not allowed to eat any of the fruits? Eve kind of missed a couple things in her response, which we all do because we're not expecting Satan to trip us up. But unfortunately, I think Satan knows Scripture far too well and knows how to twist it just enough to make us still believe it or create doubt in God. Satan saw that he had planted a seed of doubt by Eve's response, and now it was time to take advantage of it. You will not die, the serpent hissed. God knows that your eyes will be opened and you will eat. You will become just like God, knowing everything, both good and evil. And if you look to see what he's actually saying here, is God is a liar. God is keeping you in the dark. God has secrets that he doesn't trust you with, and God wants to keep you under his thumb and not give you control, rather than being an equal. Satan's using that same tactic today as we look at our culture. Our culture says that God is dead, that we're alive, and we're becoming more and more observant. And as we're becoming more and more observant and we're becoming more and more woke, we can say what's right and wrong. We can say what's good and evil. We can say all these things. It's our understanding. We are also becoming our own gods because we want to be controlled by no one but our happiness and our thought and our feelings. The lie was bought hook, line, and sinker by Eve as she ate. When I began to start looking around at my life, I was realizing that my life isn't the same as everyone else's. I had to go back and forth between my parents. I had family that was not exactly always the most friendly with everyone all the time. And I started asking myself, why would God put a child in this type of a situation? A God that is all loving, all caring. All these things that I kind of heard about and learned about, this wasn't adding up to what God was and God's plan for people's lives. So I too ate the fruit. After Eve ate the fruit, she gave some to her husband, and instantly they felt the shame of their nakedness. They broke the relationship with God and one another. They never hid from one another before. They never hid from God before. They were always complete and felt whole with God and one another. This is the part where I envision Satan running away and laughing because of the chaos that he just created. Because you see, he doesn't care about you. He's just using you to hurt God. And so many times he uses that lie of, you're going to do better, you're going to do greater things, but you find out that it's empty inside. But I bet Satan came back to see what was going to happen when he heard the Lord God walking in the garden and calling for Adam and Eve. I don't think God really had to call for Adam and Eve because he had created everything. He sees everything. And I think he knew exactly where they were, but he wanted to let them know, hey, I still love you. I still care about you. And as a father, I look at things that David does and that Connor do, and it's just, there's so many times where it's, I don't want to punish you. I'm more scared about the things that you're going to experience because of the things that you're now going and the things that you're now pursuing. I'm guessing that's kind of where God's heart was. He was more scared for them because he could no longer protect them the way that he had before. When Adam and Eve finally came out of hiding, all God did was ask questions to get to the bottom of what happened. But all Adam and Eve did was blame each other, blame God, and blame the serpent. Unfortunately, that's no different than what I had done too. I blamed God and my family for my messed up life, never taking into account that there was times that I helped fan the flames of chaos. In elementary school was where I got my first taste of alcohol and tobacco. In middle school, I started smoking pot because it was an escape from reality, and it was how I dealt with the feeling of abandonment. I started stealing and burning things to feel a rush. In high school, instead of helping my dad on the farm, I would just go out and party, and that got me into cocaine. I also started cutting myself because I could no longer take the emotional pain, but I could take as much physical pain as you could throw at me. All through all this, I just really wanted to die, because I had bought the lie that everyone would be happier and get along or wouldn't have to see each other if I wasn't around. Because I was the cause of all the chaos in my family's life and in my life. These were all the lies that I had bought in and considered true. But this leads me to my life's verse. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Looking back, it's crazy to see how exactly this happened. Satan came and stole all three of us from God. He separated us from God. All three of us had allowed Satan to kill us spiritually, but he wasn't able to destroy us physically. Although it wasn't like he didn't try to destroy me physically, as I tried to commit suicide multiple times and drove under the influence more times than I care to admit. But God came down to meet us and to give us life. It wasn't the life that he had chose for us, but it didn't deter him from still loving and caring about us and having a plan for our lives. We weren't going to be separated as long as we would come back to him. God is always in control, even when life doesn't seem to be. Unfortunately, this doesn't mean that there aren't consequences to our sins. Because if we look, the serpent was cursed, made to crawl on his belly. Eve's punishment was intense pain and suffering during childbirth and difficulty in marriage. Adam will have to work to provide for his family because God had cursed the ground. And his body will return to dust after he dies. And the ultimate consequence of their disobedience was that they were banished from the garden and all the good that God had created in it. I have scars on my arm and scars inside me from the choices that I have made that I have to live with daily. Satan would like for us to live right there and say, you're the only person that you affected. Unfortunately, that's not true. That's another one of the lies that he throws at you. Because if you look at the story of Cain and Abel, you see Cain doing the same thing that his parents did. The only thing was, it was a little bit different. Cain had the choice to stop. God tried to stop him before he committed sin. It was after Cain and Abel had brought their offerings to God. God accepted Abel's because it was the best of his flock. He did not accept Cain's gift because he just brought a gift and kind of did it half-heartedly. God saw the anger in his heart when he left, and he said, go and make things right. You have the chance right now to go and make things right before you sin. But Cain ignored the warning, went and killed his brother because he was jealous of him because God accepted him and didn't accept himself. I can only imagine the devastation that Adam and Eve just felt because they essentially just lost both of their kids. And how many times would they look back and say, if we wouldn't have eaten the fruit, what would have happened? If we wouldn't have done this, what would have happened? But thankfully, Adam and Eve didn't stop believing in God because Eve became pregnant and had another son named Seth. And Seth would then become Adam's lineage. I look at my grandmother who prayed for me for 19 years before I gave my life to the Lord. I can't imagine all the pain and the hurt that I put them through and the rest of my family through as they watched me throw my life away. I can't imagine all the late nights they had wondering if this is the phone call that Chris is no longer here with us. There were friends and family that I helped lead further astray because of my actions. The actions were the result of the lies that I had believed. But thankfully, through a TNT, a youth outreach program, I give my life to Christ. It wasn't an easy or a smooth transition, because Satan wasn't going to go down without a fight. And there was a lot of doubt in people's minds, and rightfully so, because of the things that I had done before I had given my life to the Lord. But I had to show them that I was reborn, and that Christ lived within me, or lived within me, and I was going to start accepting Christ's teachings of who I was and looking to him to see who I was and undoing all of Satan's lies. I had, after a month and a half of giving my life to the Lord, I went out to Metitzi, Wyoming, to do a discipleship training program through YWAM. It was out there that I learned a bunch about God, and it was a lot of classroom work. I did not enjoy it, but God met me there. But it was the outreach. We went to South Africa and Lesotho, where I seen God work through me and in me, and it was through the outpouring of that I realized that, hey, God really has a purpose for my life. God really has a calling on my life. God really wants to be with you and me. God really wants to redeem us. He is a redeemer. He wants to have that relationship with us. He wants to work with us. He designed us to work with us. He designed us to be in the garden and not experience all this stuff. But because of the circumstances that we're in, thankfully he gave us Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But we have to also understand that we have to transform our mind. And by transforming our mind is where we're going to see who God is. And he's going to define us. And he's going to have to undo all the lies of Satan. It was a long process, and it still is continuing to be a process because of all the stuff that I opened myself up to and allowed Satan to attack and hit. Satan knows my weak points. He can point to the scars and say, you know, who's going to believe you? This is what you did. I'm going to hold you down because God's calling you here. Well, you can't do that because there's a big long mark right here. What are these people going to think? And God said, I created you. You are perfect. Satan says you're full of flaws and faults. And there's truth in both of these statements because I am full of flaws and faults. But because of Jesus, I am made perfect. Satan says that you can't do things because you're not qualified. God says that you can do all things through Christ. Again, there's truth in both of these statements. But notice that God says, through him, you can do all things, not on your own. God says that I can save you and give you a purpose. Satan twists that and says, you're too screwed up and you have no purpose. God says that you can trust me, and Satan says you can trust no one. Satan is the father of all lives. God is the provider of life. The question each one of us has to answer is, which voice are we going to listen to? And God is calling out to you just like he did Adam and Eve in the garden.